You are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
So, television audience, we welcome you tonight from Bloemfontein, the city of revival. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Give them a big cheer here tonight in Jesus' name. And then I hope you've got your pink ticket. Well, where's the purple? What color is it? I don't know. But get your ticket. What ticket is this? Your dream week ticket. Come on, it's going to be off the wall. We have 7 or 8 speakers. I might also do a surprise session. I'm still thinking about it. Okay. Oh, well. Amen. So my message very simply tonight, and I want every pastor to sit up and pay attention tonight. Very simply, not by might. Not by might. Things are going to change in South Africa, not by might, nor by power. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel, who have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands shall also finish it. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that God is not finished with you yet. I'm here to tell somebody that the best years of your life is ahead of you, that you have only just begun. It's not time to take a back step. It's not time to take a back seat. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire, to step up in the Holy Ghost tonight, to be hungry for God and to say, God, use me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know tonight that Satan is a dream stealer? And he's a trophy hunter. Satan is after the presence of God more than anything else, because it is anointed people that are a threat to him, not any people. Isaiah 10:27, the Bible says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. There is no substitute to the anointing. All the plans, all the efforts will come to no avail if they are not anointed by the Holy Ghost. There's something about God's kingdom, and that something is supernatural. Amen. Even your marriage, your business, there's an aspect where you have to let go and let God and respect that which money cannot buy, which is the anointing. I want to read again our text tonight, where God says to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Then God goes further on, and God says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? I don't care where you are tonight. I care where you are going. I don't really care what is against you, how big the mountain. I care about who is for you. And God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? I'm here to tell somebody that God is going to give you a new season. I'm here to tell somebody that God's going to give you another run at it. I'm here to tell somebody that God's going to give you a second chance, that God is going to lift you higher, that God's going to place his hand upon you, and people will be astounded, and everybody will know it is not by might nor by power. People will know it is by the power of the Holy Ghost. That youth revival will be by the power of the Holy Ghost. Those universities changed upside down will be by the power of the Holy Ghost. A reformation will be by, oh, I need somebody to praise the Lord in this place so heaven can come down. Somebody shout, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost. Give him a radical praise for 10 seconds in Jesus' name. Tell the person next to you that God is not finished with you. Come on, Saturday, I celebrated 32 years of full-time ministry. How many of you think that's a good thing? Okay. No. How many of you think that's a good start? Okay. I've still got places to go, things to do, buildings to build, leaders to raise up, my grandchildren and my children's children's children and those that are unborn in the name of Jesus, people that will be in revival. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm not going to see a revival or a generation become a prayerless generation, a generation become a powerless generation, a generation who can strut their stuff but they don't understand where the power comes from. God is going to raise up a mighty, anointed, appointed generation in His church, people that are radically saved, transformed by the power of God, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Just do something crazy, anything. I want to get somebody out of a box tonight. I want to break something off somebody tonight. I want to move somebody tonight into a dimension that they've never walked. I want to get somebody off the riverbank, out of the ankle deep water. I want to get somebody into the river of God tonight where you lose control in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are certain things that God has called you to do which you'll not be able to do by human force, human effort, your sharps and your smarts alone. You need the anointing. You need a life fueled, controlled, influenced, empowered, guided by the Holy Ghost. You need a life under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. So otherwise, people start out strong and they fade in the distance. They lose something. They lose force. Not human efforts, they use Holy Ghost force. And things become more difficult. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Except about you abide in me, you can do nothing. Well, you can sin without Jesus, but that's about all. Everything else requires the anointing, the presence of God in your life. It requires you respecting, honoring, treasuring what the world cannot give you. That which Jesus promised, the anointing. The precious presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's what God said to Zerubbabel. He said, hear me clearly, there's a mountain before you, but that mountain will not have the final say if you allow me to be God in your life. That impossibility will not have the final say. That disease will not have the final say. That storm will not have the final say. But you better get this very clearly tonight, Zerubbabel. It will not be my might nor my power. It will be by the Holy Ghost tonight. It will be by God's Spirit and by God's presence. There's no substitute for God's anointing. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4 says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Somebody say power of God. The only way we can have the power of God is by the presence of God, by the anointing. So music without the anointing is just music. Preaching without the anointing is just preaching. Pastoring without the anointing is just pastoring. God has given us something that gives us the unfair advantage, something that the world does not understand, which is called the very presence of God, the anointing of God. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is not in speech or in word, but in power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. Oh, I'm glad you're excited because I know I'm in the right place because three of you are with me. The rest of you will soon be. It's not our style that's going to change our world. It's not our slogans that's going to change the world. It's not how cool we are that's going to change the world. The world is looking for something that they cannot buy in a fashion shop. They're looking for power from God. They're looking for an encounter from God. They want to walk in places like this and feel what they've never experienced in their lives. They want to feel something that drugs cannot give them, that sex cannot give them, that money cannot buy for them. They want an encounter with God. We need to become radical and full on in the power of God. I need somebody to give God a full on praise there in Pretoria, in Durban. Oh, come on, offend the person next to you and give God a powerful praise in Jesus' name. No, sometimes it's like pastors, they have to almost like persuade people to serve God. Sometimes we feel like we have to beg people to serve or give. Yeah, that's wrong. I mean, when Jesus really touches you, you change. And when you walk in what you receive from God, the world never gets a hold of you again. But when we look at the world, when we look at MTV, and we think they have what we don't have, we become just like them. Many of us were like that. Paul says you were darkness. Paul says, but now you are light. Walk as children of the light. You were in the world, but now you're in God's kingdom. You have what money cannot buy you. In the world, you were empty and hollow. Now, as a Christian, you should be satisfied with that which Jesus died for. That which Jesus sent 2,000 years ago, the precious presence of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Somebody say fire. Fire. Oh no, sir. I mean, the way some of you say fire, it's like a little match. When I think about a fire, I think about the Neisner fires, okay? A consuming fire, a blazing fire, a powerful fire. That's what I think about. I don't think Jesus, when he spoke about a fire, meant a little matchstick. He says, I'm going to baptize you in fire. I'm going to baptize you in fire. You can feel when people lose their fire, because when they lose their fire, they lose their power. And they go from yah to yah. I've been talking about being smart and sharp and 10 times better and all the wonderful things that we understand. And I warned you, I said to you, I want to just settle certain things before we get full on for God, so that when this anointing and this fire comes, we don't go cuckoos. We go change the world. We go influence the world. We become better in our jobs, etc. But there are many educated people that can't get jobs. Many people with doctorates, super smart. A few years ago, a man that was a very creative genius man created several patents, and one was going to make him, well, maybe hundreds of millions. Somebody else stole his patent, and needless to say, he was so discouraged, disillusioned, that eventually he committed suicide. One of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my lives, who could think things that nobody else thought. And I'm not judging anybody, but I'm saying to you, if we stop living in the presence of God, we begin to rely on ourselves, our own strength, our own ability, our own efforts. That's why God says, you will put on the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace, it's not you, Mr. Smart. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you realize it's a grace of God, it's easy to stay humble and to always give God a praise, because he's worthy. Can you give him a praise one more time in this place? Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe me. It's God's responsibility to draw the sinner. Well, let me say the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, do you think for one moment God doesn't have a solution for South Africa? Do you think for one moment God does not have the solution for your future? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. You see, my dear friend, there are certain things you're not going to get by yourself. There are certain places you will not go by yourself. And if you get there, you will get there with much sorrow. But then there's a dimension. There's a highway. There's a place in God. that is reserved for those who walk with God, that is reserved for those who draw closer to God, those who reserve, that is reserved for those who are friends of God, like an Abraham. God said, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I want to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He's my friend. Amos chapter 3, the Bible says, the Lord God does nothing in the earth unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. We should not be like chickens whose heads have been chopped off and always become an echo of the world. I said to church leaders the other day, I said, it's like the church has become a sounding board or an echo of political parties. If political parties say this, the church jumps on the bandwagon. We are the Christian leaders that can see the future, that can see the solution, that do not say what somebody else says, but they say what God says. This is what God says to Zerubbabel. Don't look at the mountain. Don't look at the situation. I'm not finished with you. I'm not finished with South Africa. I'm not finished with your marriage. I'm not finished with you. You're not going to go to your grave early. You're not going to lose what I've called you. What I've blessed cannot be cursed. You have a future. You have a hope. You will be better than you've ever been. You're going to be high, go higher than you've ever gone. You're going to be more anointed than you've ever been. You're going to have more results than you've ever had before. But it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost alone. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost alone. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost alone. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Ghost alone. Because God has not reserved his glory for a man. The glory belongs to God. Oh, church in South Africa, give him glory and give him praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just getting the temperature right in this place. When people lose pressing into God, they lose everything. They lose the force of life. And then they begin to look for it somewhere, everywhere. And again, because I'm going to preach, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense. Prophets wonder by keeping abreast of the fact, but all rooted in the guiding presence of the Holy Ghost. It's when people lose this abiding relationship, they lose that force. Spiritual force I'm talking about. And then things become difficult. It's like a machine that operates without oil. You walk in a place, you can feel the prayer is not the way it should be. And I want to honor my father-in-law today. Sid Gibbons, stand up please, will you? I want to honor you today publicly for the years and years and years that you've prayed for this church, that you've prayed for the altars. I tell you, you have a great reward in heaven. Thank you for your 30 plus years that you've prayed for me, that you've prayed for this church. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you have carried the burden well. I want to honor you. Oh, you can give a bigger clap than that in the name of Jesus. And it's been your dream to see a generation of intercessors raised up. And I pray, Father, raise up a generation of intercessors just like this man, so that revival may continue to the nations of the world and to the continents of the world, so that revival may not delay in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're an intercessor tonight, shout out to God, use me, Father, anoint me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Great evangelist told a story about a church that he preached in back in the day in America. He says he walked into the building and he just felt there was something about this place, atmosphere, which really is the spirit of revival. And he came in early, and at the altar there were a lot of older ladies, and they were praying in the Holy Ghost, groaning and travailing. And after the word was preached, again they would storm to the altar, groaning and travailing. The altars were full. Several years later, he came back. He said it was like walking into a different place. Same people, same church, no presence. And he noticed that there was no prayer at the altar. And after the service, there was a little lady that ran to the altar, and the pastor said, no, we will have none of that. And he asked somebody that knew in that church, he said, what happened? He said, the pastor stopped that prayer. He said, we are a church that are sensitive to newcomers. We don't want that in this church. The power of God lifted. I don't think we realize how important prayer intercessory prayer is at the altar. You know, Satan, as I said, will do everything to steal the power. He'll get you to go through religious methods, actions, without power. That's why Jesus said, in vain do these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus, who teaches us to always pray, says, do not think you're going to be hurt for your vain repetition. What is he saying? If your heart is not in what you're doing, if it's not fervent prayer, if it's not heartfelt prayer, then stop that prayer, because it's the enemy of the presence of God. And I don't want to use the word fear, but you know, I travel between the churches, I get into different places, and it's like seasons. It messes with your mind, because in your spirit you pick up things and you're trying to discern what's up, what's happening. You move or bump into people, you're trying to figure out, because you're not just in one place. It's like you can drive from Bloemfontein, where it's ice cold, get into Pretoria, and you stand with a t-shirt. Same country, different climate. One day it's hot, the next day it's cold. Same city. Well, people are the same. Churches are the same. We determine the atmosphere by the way we pray. We determine the atmosphere, the climate, by the way we pray. I mean, everything is birthed in the spirit realm. If we start treating prayer casually, the results will become casual. If we start treating prayer as unimportant, the results will be unimportant. Listen to me very clearly. The early church was birthed in prayer and maintained by prayer. Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, or Acts chapter 1, the Bible says they were continuing in prayer. On the day of Pentecost, they were in prayer. After the day of Pentecost, three times a day, believers came together to pray, and it was a powerful church, because it was a church that walked dependent on the Holy Ghost. There's something about prayer that releases the presence of God that you cannot articulate with words. And there's something that you sense in a place when that kind of prayer disappears. Everything is affected, is impacted. Everything. CRC was birthed by prayer. For years and years and years, people have maybe sat in the background. We've had a lot of heated discussions with leaders. Pastors should lead. And they don't lead in prayer. And when they see again, people who were committed become uncommitted, and they don't understand why. Because the very first thing that God tells the priest after worshiping God is that the priest is to pray for the people. Spare thy people, O God, spare thy people. The priest is to lay between the porch and the altar and cry out to God as an intercessor. Same thing that Jesus did, our high priest. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen your brothers. It's like he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. When we lose the art of prayer, it's the end or the beginning of the end of revival. I mean, it grieves me when people say, oh, we miss so-and-so, because when he led the prayer, the presence of God was there, and it was buzzing in that place. And you move one leader and suddenly that beehive buzz is not there, and you watch how things decay. Now you're all quiet, and I'm glad, because in South Africa, when people get very quiet, they listen. We birthed this movie, Lady Brand, praying every morning 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Two people, three people, four people, five people. Those years, Sid prayed with me when we went to Lady Brand. Remember, we started our first service back in 1988. And you went with a suit and tackies. I mean, I don't know what we were thinking. We were very spiritual. I definitely could have not have ministered a message of excellence on that day, because I had a suit on, a shiny suit, not a mohair suit. I wore the suit so many times. Amen. And then I had different color shoes, a navy shoe and a black shoe. One with a high heel, one with a short heel. Okay. But we were there in fire. We were there. We prayed the whole weekend. We prayed. We prayed. We prayed. And we had a move of God in Lady Brain. We prayed and we had a move of God. Came to Bloemfontein. I came into the prayer meetings and people were praying. And obviously, you know, my personality, I've toned down a little bit. Some of you don't think like it. But in those years, I was reckless and ruthless. I mean, I walk in a prayer meeting and all you hear are the Bible pages and people going like, I said, one day, what is this? What's this? Oh, we're praying. Everybody walks with his Bible and it's just like, all you hear is a Bible page, like, it's just, and it's like, and it's like, I mean, I got offended, not offended, provoked in the spirit. And I had to cast that bird bondage out of the church. And with that left some people that were controlling the prayer meetings. That were controlling the right kind of prayer that stops revival from taking place. Vision, passion is born and maintained in prayer. No leader should be in leadership in the house of God if he does not know how to pray for hours in tongues, hours in the spirit fervently. No leader. So I'm calling this church, I'm calling CRC, this whole movement, every pastor, move away from your activities, move away from all your sharp, smart, little things that you are doing, although it's important, there's a day for it. I'm calling you all to pray. I'm calling you to a season of prayer. Even in your staff meetings, shut the staff up and get them to pray. Get people to pray in the Holy Ghost. Get people to pray by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Get people to open their mouths and get fire in their bellies again in the name of Jesus Christ. Get Pentecost back in the church in the name of Jesus Christ. We have some leaders that are not even baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it's not their fault. CRC is a Pentecostal movement. Thank you for the one amen. We are not going to move away from what brought us here. The power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I need somebody to agree with me tonight and give the Lord a radical shout of praise. Hallelujah. People who stop praying lose their passion. They lose their force. They lose their energy. Their authority. And then seats that were filled become empty. Everything in God's kingdom is supernatural. Amen. Jesus never gave us crutches. Amen. Excuses. Reasons. He gave us the anointing to change the world. And if you as a leader don't know how to pray, you'll never know how to lead. Never. The most important meeting you can have with your followers is a prayer meeting. The most important meeting you can have with your followers is a prayer meeting. The most important meeting you can have with your followers is a prayer meeting. Not the last 3 points you downloaded from the internet to impress people that are unspiritual. We need the force. Listen to me, CRC. We need the force and the power of the Holy Ghost like never in our church. I do not want to walk in a place and something is lacking because prayer is lacking. It's always back to prayer. 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 People may be praying, but they're not praying right. It's always back to prayer. We need an army of people that will pray. Those that were called by God to be intercessors that are now no longer praying. The number one intercessors in the church, by the way, are the pastors. The number one intercessors in the church are the pastors and their wives. Thank you for the amen in the front row. I'll lay my hands on all of you and get something on top. Don't provoke me. Do not provoke me. I came to Christ as a young man. I was exposed to many leaders. Thousands and thousands. None of them did it for me. Very few did. They would all have their pastoral way, demeanor, but they had nothing. Here and there was a man that stood out. And you would always find those people with strong prayers. They were people who had a relationship with God, but people who interceded where God placed them. I believe, like God says to Zerubbabel, a prophetic word for CRC, for the generations to come, there may be challenges, there may be things in our country, but the same hands that laid the foundation generationally will put that capstone, meaning leave a legacy for generations to come. But it's not going to be by might, and it's not going to be by power. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost. And the only way I know to connect with the Holy Ghost is by prayer. Like the early church, they prayed every day. They prayed three times a day. When all hell broke loose, they ran together and they prayed, and buildings shook. I need you to jump to your feet tonight, and just for 30 seconds, I want you to give God a praise. Let's open this heaven over Bloemfontein and over every church. Come on. Begin to lift your voice in the Holy Ghost.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, please save me. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power tonight to be a child of God. I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ, that you died for my sin. I confess that God raised you from the dead and you are alive. Tonight, I surrender my whole life to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer and for saving my soul. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I'm your child. Now and forever, I'm home in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.